If the dark is getting darker, it's not time for the light to say, I better not shine. It's time to get brighter. When if evil's going from bad to worse, then it's time for the good to go from good to great. These are the days that actually produce the great and mighty men and women of God.
That's the voice of Jonathan Cahn, the messianic rabbi and New York Times best-selling author who had powerful words to say about how the cultural battles we face today connect to spiritual realities and why as Christians we should embrace that reality rather than shine away from it. It's a timely message, especially considering what we just witnessed with city officials in Fairfax and even the president of the United States exalting Trans Visibility Day on Easter Sunday. How can Christians respond to this sort of paganism? Welcome to Speak Up Virginia, equipping you to speak up on the life, family, and freedom issues that matter most to you. From the Family Foundation, I'm your host, Candy Cushman, with our Vice President of Policy, Dr. Todd Gackey. Well, welcome, everybody. Glad to have you back with us. We have a wonderful episode to share with you because we're going to be featuring a talk from Messianic Rabbi Jonathan Cahn. I know it's going to be really inspiring to you. But before we get into that, I did want to share something, Todd, that I feel is really relevant to his whole message. And that is this outrage that's been going on with what happened on Easter with the President of the United States declaring Transgender Day of Visibility on Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. And just mm-hmm. how that really shocked a lot of people with the level of paganism that we're at. And I think we're going to put on the screen here a portion of his proclamation. Okay, yeah. First of all, let me just say, I'm not sure why we need transgender visibility because I feel like it is so visible. I mean,
yeah. From parades to drag queen story hours in school libraries or public libraries. Yeah, it's everywhere you look. There is transgender visibility. You can't get away from
it. I mean, we just heard from this dad in Fairfax talking about how mm-hmm. a transgender person came in his kid's first grade class and shared about aspects of transition.
Yeah.
You know, I think that dad feels like it's pretty visible, you know? And so this just feels like, to a lot of people, another form of government forcing this.
Yeah, I think, and we're beyond tolerance, too. I mean, whether you believe it or not, this is forcing this on people, making them comply with it. To buy in or go along with this hypersexualization, the same-sex marriage, the transgender movement. And what they're really doing is they're doing this at the expense of Christians. And they're saying they're daring people to complain. They're daring them to stand up and object to this so that they can respond in their way and really elevate this belief, this ideology, to the same level as Christian faith.
Well, when you say at the expense of Christians, I just want to clarify. I mean, you're talking about Christians are basically being told you have to comply with this, you know, whether it's in the school or the workplace.
Yeah.
And then exalting over, you know, which we'll get into. Mm-hmm. But just kind of wanted, when we say at the expense of, I mean, we're getting into more of Christians being almost harassed or
forcing them, compelling them to go along with something that violates their deeply held beliefs.
Well, to make matters worse in all this, we did have local officials right here in Virginia in the city of Fairfax also do the same kind of proclamation designating this Transgender Visibility Day as a day on Easter Sunday. So that didn't help things at all.
No, And again, we're getting back to this idea that it's the holiest day in Christendom. And the idea that this is the day we celebrate Christ resurrecting from the dead and walking out of the tomb. And we're putting in, at the same time, this Visibility Day of Transgenderism. It's again, desecrating the holiest day. And I think that people are starting to say, hey, this is going too far. This is too much. You know, I think we're starting to see some people in the public start to kind of push back on this narrative of this transgender ideology.
Well, let's just talk about how you heard the Biden administration and other officials kind of defending this whole move. And they were saying, look, you know, this day has been in existence for several years now. It always falls on March 31st. And this year it just happened to fall on Sunday. And first of all, I just have to say, you know, especially at the presidential level, you know that they knew this was falling on Easter Sunday. And yeah. I'm sure they had thought about in advance what they're going to say about it. So it's not something done accidentally.
Right.
It's done purposefully. But I think the bigger issue in my mind, see what you say, but in my mind, I thought this really is getting to the level of paganization of our culture. Because what you have here, rather than acknowledging a Judeo-Christian heritage that our nation was founded upon a 2,000-year-old, you know, holy day.
Right, right.
Recognizing the Bible, you know, if it comes from the Bible.
Yeah.
You are exalting a little known day, really, in perspective of history about transgenderism above and over that.
Yeah, right? And there is no proclamation for Easter Sunday. You know, the president and even, you know, local government here in Fairfax, they didn't issue a proclamation for Easter, but they did elevate a proclamation for Transgender Day of Visibility.
Exactly.
So you're right. It's this... It's this paganization. It's raising this up to a special level, the same as we celebrate traditional Christian holidays. You know, and so you know, I almost wonder, would they have done this if we were talking about an Islamic holiday?
Right. You know that they wouldn't.
Right, because you know, in that culture, they don't have very much tolerance for this type of lifestyle or this culture.
Even Muslims that are tolerant, that celebrate this holiday, I don't think they would be countenancing. They know that that would not be countenance.
Right.
And that's where it does feel like that they are treating the Christian tradition as expendable.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's a great segue into what you're going to hear today, because Jonathan Kahn is addressing how did we get here? What's the spiritual reality behind this place that we find ourselves at that's shocking? So let me just tell you a little bit about him. He spoke recently at one of our Family Foundation events, so we wanted to just give you this treat of being able to listen into the talk that he gave at this event. And so a little bit about Jonathan Kahn. He has caused quite the national and even international stir with several of his New York Times bestsellers, including The Harbinger, that I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. And, you know, it's interesting. I did see that Charisma Magazine had designated him, along with people like Billy Graham, as one of the most influential Christian speakers in the last few decades, really making an impact on our culture and our world.
Yeah.
He's spoken on Capitol Hill, at the United Nations. He's spoken to millions of people. And I'll just mention, he also leads a ministry called Hope of the World Ministries. He is the leader of the Jerusalem Center Beth Israel in Wayne, New Jersey, which is a wonderful worship center made up of Jews and Gentiles, people worshiping together of all nations. So that is pretty neat. And I'll just mention one other thing, Todd. he does, you will notice in this speech, he does get into some commentary on things happening on certain dates.
Right.
And how they might correlate to ancient biblical times and things that happen in spiritual history.
Right. Yeah. And it's, but I think what's important is to see what he is pointing out and what's happening in our culture from a spiritual standpoint and the things that we're dealing with legislatively, what we're dealing with in our communities and our schools. He is going through and pointing exactly what's happening. This over hyper sexualization, the transgender movement, all of this is just what he sees from a historical standpoint of just you know, it's just kind of coming back into our culture and being forced on people, our schools, our children.
Exactly.
And encouraging us to stand up.
Yeah. So regardless of kind of where you're falling on all the date stuff, I mean, if you were sitting in that room, as we both were, you just felt this spiritual refreshment and emboldening. So we want you to be able to experience that as well. So without further ado, here is Jonathan Kahn.
Well, we are at war. And this war is ideological, it's political, it's cultural, it's civilizational. But it is not any of those ultimately. It is ultimately spiritual. And if we don't realize that, we're not going to win. The Word of God says, we war not against flesh and blood, but principalities, rulers, darkness, spiritual forces. I want to open up that side tonight of what you're dealing with every day. what we are all dealing with. Because if you're in a war and you don't know what you're fighting, you're not going to win. If you don't know the power you have. First key, in the book of Deuteronomy, they worship gods, and Moses speaks of those who worship gods, and he says they're worshiping the Shedim. In Hebrew, that word Shedim doesn't mean just gods or mythology. It means spirits, entities with will. It was translated into the Greek. It became the word daimonia. We get the word demon from it. Behind the gods of the ancient world were spirits. And the ancient world was filled with gods. But something happened. Something happened to change that. And what happened was Jesus happened. God came in time and space. He sent his gospel into the pagan world. And that power drove out the gods. The temples of Zeus were empty. The shrines of Dionysus were abandoned. But if behind the gods were the Shedim, or spirits, then it was also the driving out of spirits. It was really the greatest mass exorcism in human history. That's what made the West so different. But a warning was given, and that warning came from Messiah, Jesus himself. He said, if a spirit comes out of a man, it goes wandering, looking for a place of rest, doesn't find it, says, I will return to the house from which I came. So it returns to the man, finds the house empty, goes back at seven other spirits, repossess the man. He is now worse than he was. The Lord says his latter state is worse than before. Now, most people think it's just talking about a god. But at the end of that, the Lord says, so it shall be with this generation. He's not just talking about a god. He's talking about cultures, civilizations. They can be possessed, and they can be delivered, and they can be repossessed. So here we have a warning. And to the modern world and to America. And the warning is this. Any nation, any culture, any civilization that has known God, been delivered by God, cleansed by God, exercised by God, if it should ever turn away from God, if it should ever empty itself of the spirit, of the power, of the gospel, of the word that delivered it, then the spirits that were cast out of it will come back into it. They will return to the house from which they came. The Shedim will come back to turn a Judeo-Christian civilization or nation into a pagan one. They will begin the process of paganization. If you want to understand what's happening to our nation in the last half century, the increasingly dark, irrational changes that are taking place, we are dealing with a repaganization. We are dealing with a repossession. Remember what Messiah said. He said the last state will be worse than the first state. So it means if America and the West should ever turn from God, the latter state will be worse than paganism. See, a pagan culture can produce a Nero, but a post-Christian culture will produce a Hitler or an Antichrist. For a civilization that has once known God, that could have been called Christian, to turn away, that's a dangerous thing. And it's now happening. What has happened to our media, our school system, our movies, our education, our political system, all is linked to that. Our families. Which spirits? Which gods? The Bible reveals them. The same that inhabited ancient Israel when they turned away from God. In the Return of the Gods, I call it the Dark Trinity. The first was called the Possessor. That's what his name means. In ancient Hebrew, it means the master, the lord, the possessor, the owner. In Hebrew, he was called Baal. We call him Baal. In ancient times, his influence, the influence of the spirit, was to turn a nation that once knew God away from God. So if America empties itself of God, this is coming in. How would it happen? We would have to empty our house of God. We began doing that, particularly in the 1960s. We began emptying God out of the schools. Prayer, the word. And they figure, well, that's not a big deal. Well, no, it's a real big deal. Because if you take God from the children, you're taking God from the, you're taking the future away. And if you look at what's happening now, it all began then. And what did this spirit do? What did Israel do when it turned to Baal? Well, this spirit wars against God, drives God out of the culture. And so we've been watching God being driven out of everything. The Bible says that Baal caused Israel to forget God. Well, we are at a point where America, as the mainstream culture, not only is forgetting God, it's forgetting it ever knew God. What has come in as a new morality is actually a pagan morality. Now, we don't have time to get into it, but it's behind everything from wokeism, transhumanism, moral relativism. You know, if you have one God, you have one truth. But if you have many gods, you have many truths.
Yes.
So everybody now has an authentic truth. If a woman says she's not a she, she's a they, well, then that's her authentic truth. If a man says he's not a man, he's a dog, that's his authentic truth. You take him out for a walk, that's his authentic truth. When Paul spoke on Mars Hill, he spoke of idolatry in the pagan world, and he used an interesting Greek word. He used the word techne, where you get technology, tech from it. And what it's saying is that if we turn away from God, we're going to become enslaved by the works of our own hands. We're not going to be using, we're going to be mastered by our own technology. Well, that's already happening. Now, the Bible says Baal, he's always first, but then it goes to a she, and her name in the Bible is Ashtoreth. She's called Ashtoreth. She is called in Babylon, she was called Ishtar. In Greece, she was called Aphrodite. She was the goddess of unbridled sexual immorality, lust, pornography, prostitution. She sexualized the culture. So first comes Baal, then comes the goddess Ishtar. So what happened to America? We turned away from God. We began turning early 60s. And then what happened? All of a sudden, the realm of sexuality was transformed. That is what the mission of this one is, to turn a Christian nation or civilization into a pagan one through the realm of sexuality. And that's why sexuality has become this weaponized issue. She was a prostitute, a harlot. As a prostitute takes sexuality out of marriage, puts it into the marketplace, so we've been watching sexuality being taken out of marriage and put into the popular culture. She sexualized, a prostitute weakens marriage. So we're watching as marriage has been weakened, families have been destroyed. In ancient times, in Greek, they called her the sacred prostitute, but the word in Greek for the prostitute, her name was porne, which we get porn from. It's no accident. She comes in and there's an explosion of pornography. There is so much more, but I'm going to move on to the third of the dark trinity. I call this one, and he was called the destroyer. This is the principality that causes parents to offer up their own children as sacrifices. It was the hallmark of the pagan world, the offering up of humans and particularly children. It was only the power of God that ended this. And that shows you how right our faith is. But if a nation turns away from God, then that which protected it from this is going to be removed. And so it's no accident. At the end of, as the sexuality came, the end of the 60s, we begin offering up our children in the form of abortion. The destroyer, Moloch, comes to America. And so it's done in the name of liberation and enlightenment, but it is the most pagan act. Do you know which children were offered up to this God more than any other child in ancient times? The poor, the children of the poor. That's why they are today. Now, the thing is, if you remove the children or you try to overturn this, then this spirit goes into a rage. So when we watch the overturning of Roe versus Wade, this culture has gone into a rage.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you saw, you mentioned the President's State of the Union address, it was like a rage for blood.
Yeah.
Israel offered up thousands of its children. We have offered up millions. And it was for that that they were judged and destroyed. This week is the biblical feast of Purim. Purim began when Haman issued a decree to bring death and destruction. And it was marked, as the Bible says, for the 13th day of the 12th month. 13th day of the 12th month, evil decree. Roe versus Wade was heard before the Supreme Court on December 13th. That's the 13th day of the 12th month, evil decree. That brings death and destruction. I'm going to share something else. Do you remember when the president held a celebration on the White House lawn to sign into law the Respect for Marriage Act, which enshrined same-sex marriage into federal law? Remember that? You know when he did it? December 13th, the 13th day of the 12th month, day of evil decree. Which brings us to an even deeper mystery. When I looked at the ancient Mesopotamian inscriptions concerning this goddess, Ishtar, I found something strange. She's called the Enchantress, but she says, I am a woman, I am a man. One of her hymns praising her says, you are the one who turns a man into a woman and a woman into a man. That's your power. You want to understand what's happening now? Goes back to this. This is her deeper work. It could not show up in the 60s when it all began. It was too deep. Had to wait till the culture got entrenched, and now comes this out. It is the spirit that blurs the lines of man and woman, male and female, boy and girl. A spirit of androgyny is going to come into the culture, and so it has. This spirit seeks to emasculate men and masculinize women. To remove men from their calling, from manhood, from fatherhood, from protectors, from providers. And just also to defeminize women, to remove women from motherhood, marriage, womanhood, separate man from women, woman from man. The goddess raged against the, quote, patriarchy. But her powers went deeper. She had a mysterious priesthood, men who filled her temples. They walked around, men dressed up as women, performing dances. These were her priests under her possession. Parents would bring their children to see the men dressed in drag performing. Goes further. So she turns a man into a woman. The goddess actually had among her priesthood, there were priests who were surgically transitioned from men to women. Messiah said, when the spirits come back, they come back worse. Well, see, back then she sought to transition and possess a priesthood. Now she's seeking to possess an entire generation of children. She's seeking to take the children away from the parents. You know, see, that the goddess wants the children, and she's using the state and the educational system to take them away. But God did not trust your children to the state. He trusted your children to you. You are in charge of your protection. You better do what you have to do. It's amazing because we opened the door. Back then, we'll just take God out of school. But the law, the spiritual law is, if you take God out, something else is going to come into the school. So you take God from the children, something else is going to come into the children. You know, the movement to alter sexuality and marriage began in New York City near where I am. It was called Stonewall, the Stonewall Riots. We don't have time to get into it, but what happened on the streets of New York was a manifestation of the goddess. The goddess was called the Storm. The woman who triggered Stonewall, her name meant Storm. Even the name Stonewall, the goddess was accused of being the stone that breaks the stone wall. Ishtar was the goddess of parades through the city streets. Her parades were filled with color and sexual licentiousness and the bending of gender. The parades of the goddess, well, they're back. The goddess claimed 1 month of the year to especially possess the culture. Do you know what that month was? I looked in the words of St. Jerome because it was still happening. And he calls it in Latin. He said it was the month of Iunium, or in English, it was the month of June. She was the goddess of pride. So June has become the month of pride. And the processions of the goddess and the alteration of gender, that's all part of it. Do you know what one of the signs of the goddess was? It was the sign of the rainbow. She used the rainbow to war against her enemies. That's why the rainbow is saturating the culture, replacing the cross as the sign of our civilization. But the rainbow doesn't belong to the goddess or any movement. The rainbow belongs to God. There's a mystery of her use of this rainbow that if anybody, the people who wave it, would know, they'd have second thoughts because it's linked to her possession. Now, the peak of her possession was the last days of June, by the time of the summer solstice. There were three rulings of the Supreme Court over a 12-year period that altered gender, sexuality, and then marriage. Each one, notice, took place in June. Each one took place in the last days of June. Each one took place on the days near the summer solstice. And each one took place on the same day, June 26, no matter when it happened, June 26, which is linked to the goddess and her mystery. On the day when marriage was struck down as we know it, we all remember it, it was redefined so a man could marry a man. Obama lit up the White House in the colors of the rainbow. You remember that? Yeah. On the ancient calendar, that night it was the 10th of Tammuz. I looked at the ancient records of Babylon. You know what I found? It's written that the 10th of Tammuz is ordained to cast a spell to make a man love a man. Now, there's so much more, but I can't go into it, but except to say this now, to bring this on. When the gods or the spirits come into a culture, when a culture turns away, when the spirit comes in, it comes in the name of tolerance. They come to say anything goes. It's just to get the foot in. It's just to open the door for a nation that was Christian. But once they get established, they put away tolerance and declare that every knee shall bow to them and every tongue will confess. It goes from a toleration culture to a cancel culture. and all opposition is to be silenced or destroyed. Thus they seek to overturn anyone who seeks to stand in the way, like conservatives, particularly like Christians. See, there's a vendetta, because you know the people who drove the gods out? They were Christians. In the name of Jesus, they have a vendetta against the name of Jesus and against you. And it's not that the people who are doing this know this, but they are being used.
Yes.
So this has everything to do with you. No matter who you are, no matter who you are part of this, you are in a war and there is no demilitarized zone. It is spiritual.
Right.
It's a war for the future of America and civilization. It's a war for the future of your children and for your own life. It is a war, literally, of life and death, because they seek destruction. And we have to stand bold. Just as Moses had a stand against the gods, this is not new. Except we haven't been used to it. This is biblical. You know, there's a lot of people have been praying, you know, Lord, I wish I could live in Bible times. Congratulations. You're there. Congratulations. Congratulations. We have to stand biblical. It's as Elijah stood against the gods of Baal, of Ahab, and Jezebel, and Jeremiah against the god Moloch, and the first believers standing against the gods of Rome, it's our turn. It's time to stand and fight in the power that God has given us. The power of the Word, the power of the Spirit, the power of prayer, the power of faith, hope, and righteousness in the power of our God. And it's time also to put away all grays and be strong and of good courage. Let the chips fall where they may. You know, like Gary and like all the others and like Winston, let the chips fall where they may. This is our moment. God gave everything up for us. We can at least do the same. If the dark is getting darker, it's not time for the light to say, I better not shine. It's time to get brighter. But if evil's going from bad to worse, then it's time for the good to go from good to great. These are the days that actually produce the great and mighty men and women of God. These are the days of the prophets and the apostles and the book of Acts. Because there is one true living God and you got him. There is one name above all names and you have it. There is no God like our God and there is no Redeemer like our Redeemer. You've got the power to cast out the darkness. It's time that we take up our stand against every principality, every sacred cow of political correctness and the spirit, not only in the culture, but in our own lives. It's time to take up the stand against that spirit that's tried to hinder you and compromise you and defile you and discourage you and make you bow down. To say, no, no more. I will not bow down my knee to you again. I will not bow down to your bondage. I will not bow down to your temptation. I will not bow down to your gloom or your fear. I will only bow down my knee to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Messiah, Jesus, is his name that is for you. In the name of Yeshua, Jesus, I say, get out of my land. Get out of my nation. Get out of my government. Get out of my house. Get out of my life. Get your hell out of my life. For greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Greater is the God of salvation. For thus says the Lord, Kumi ori ki ba orach, arise and shine, man of God. Arise and shine, woman of God. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord shall rise upon you. In the name above every name that is named, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Anointed, the King above all kings, the Lord above all lords, and the God above all gods. Amen.
Wow. Talk about a spiritual stirring. That was incredible. I love the part where he's talking about arise and shine. You know, you are children of God. Let your light shine. I thought that was so amazing.
Yeah, I thought his insights were incredible. I love when he says, he talks to so many people and they say, I wish I could go back and live in Bible times. And then he says, well, welcome. You're there. We're in Bible times. Yeah. We're in the middle of the fight right now. And it just reminded me from the book of Jude, where the author is saying, now is the time to contend for the faith.
Yeah.
And that's what basically his message is coming down to, is now we have to rise up and contend for our faith, whether it's in government, it's in the schools, in our communities, wherever that's at, we've got to stand up and contend for the faith.
Well, and I thought also he was good at helping us be humble because he was pointing out, you know, this stuff is going on in the culture, but you also need to look at your own life and look at if there is, you know, pollution in your own life that you need to be convicted about. So I really appreciated that approach as well.
Yeah. And it's a continuation of Easter Sunday as well. There are things in our lives we have to lay down. We have to recognize that we're serving the God of the universe.
Yeah, the God of all.
Yeah, the God of everything. And that we have to humble ourselves and we have to lay things down and follow after him in complete obedience.
So good. All right. Well, before we wrap up, if you were intrigued by what you heard from Jonathan Kahn, I do want to let you know that you'll probably want to check out his book, The Return of the Gods, because that's where a lot of the themes that he was talking about came from. And so that is on Amazon. And just for our audience convenience, we are going to include the link to where you can get the book off of Amazon in our show notes or the description right below this show. So be sure to check that out. And as always, remember, we are stronger when we speak together, so be sure and share this Speak Up Virginia playlist. And if you are listening on Apple or Spotify, be sure to give us that 5-star review because it helps the word get out to more and more people. So thanks for joining us. See you next time.